Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group honoring their relentless dedication and sacrifice to serve and protect our citizens and the United States of America. Engaging, empowering, connecting, transforming veterans by being the hub to veterans affairs, information, resources, and referrals. And, of course, today is particularly great because it is Black History Month, and we'll be talking a lot about that. America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, LLP, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603, toll-free 888-837-3275. The office number is 312-781-1977. Well, we are always pleased to have our group here. Again, Cliff Kelly, I'm the host. Our web social media producer is with us, Manny Corazzari. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. And we are pleased to have with us in our round table, attorney Ernesto Borges. Counselor, how are you?
Good afternoon, Cliff.
Good. Rochelle Crump, founder, president, of course, the National Women's Veterans United. How are you, Rochelle?
I'm president accounted for, sir.
Thank you. And our good friend, and Sean Claiborne. Sean, how you doing?
Doing all right. Not bad.
Good. Well, we're going to start off. This is, as I've already mentioned, Black History Month. And this is something that really is on point. The military legacy is rich with African-American contributions. Last year, while researching the anniversary of President Truman's July 1948 executive order directing the desegregation of armed forces, we discovered the legacy of the first two black officer graduates of the U.S. Army War College, Colonel Frederick Davidson and Colonel Otto Van Exel, hold a distinction with the class of 1963. Davidson became the first black officer in the regular army, promoted to Major General and to command an Army Division, the 8th Infantry Division. He culminated his service as the commanding general of the Military District of Washington. Van Exel held 4 battalions and higher-level command in the New York Army National Guard and received a brevet promotion to Brigadier General upon his retirement. Would anybody else like to say anything about some of these great things that during Black History Month and relative to the military?
I think it was wonderful that we have such a rich legacy that you know, in the military, and the fact that, you know, coming from slavery to the Underground Railroad to soldiers, you know, fighting for the nation in a time when we weren't getting the respect that, you know, as even human beings, as people, you know, going overseas and fighting wars, even fighting campaigns here in the United States, the Buffalo Soldiers we have, you know, during World War II, the fact that we have no black or soldiers, men or women, that were received the Medal of Honor until 1997 when Bill Clinton did it. You know, that kind of legacy, to me, that shows the true spirit of people that really love this country and also stand for freedom and want to fight for freedom, not just for themselves, but for other people.
Well, and it started Revolutionary War.
Right. Yeah, Crispus Attucks. That's
before,
right.
Before Crispus Attucks, the first black to die in the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it was Bunker Hill or somewhere like that.
Right.
But so in about 5,000 blacks fought in the Revolutionary War for, you know, to gain freedom from England.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, then to put us in slavery, to keep us in slavery, mm-hmm. and to perpetuate slavery after we fought for the freedom of America from tyranny of King George. You know, it's just, you know, we've always been there. We've been in all the wars this country's been involved in. The Buffalo soldiers, you know, we watch the old John Wayne movies, the John Ford movies. You don't see any black soldiers.
Right.
But about 25% of the cavalry in the West were blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so passed over with all the old Westerns and so forth. But we helped with whether you want to call it the manifest destiny of spreading West or whatever. And then, they wanted to spread the slave states
mm-hmm.
to include all the new territory. So right or wrong, whatever you did to the Native Indians and so forth, we were part of it. I mean, we have some culpability also.
In all the wars.
But certainly we need to be recognized for our contributions and certainly what I endured in when
Vietnam.
I was in the military,
right.
Vietnam,
yeah,
and leaving, being stationed in Louisiana, not being able to go to the clubs that the white soldiers went to in 1968,
wow.
told that I can't come in, and I'm on my way to Vietnam in 30 days, but mm-hmm. I can't come into a club in our own country. So, you know, then you think about people like Muhammad Ali, who said, hey, I'm not going to go over here and kill some people that have done absolutely nothing to me.
Correct. Not to mention Dory Miller, who wasn't even allowed to come from downstairs on a ship, but in essence, he was essential in helping to save that ship.
Shot down, yet to be recognized
for what he actually did
and
the award he should have received.
Yeah, and so we want to thank Sarah Dunlap for staying active with this campaign regarding Dory Miller and working directly in concert with Cliff and America's Heroes Group, because we're not going to stop until he gets it. And
Absolutely.
So publicly, thank you, Uncle Sal, for everything you have done to help America's Heroes Group. We sincerely appreciate you.
Well, you know, this is a good time to make the transition since we're talking about Dory Miller, who certainly should have gotten the Medal of Honor,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully will.
Yeah.
And William H. Kearny was the first black soldier to earn the Medal of Honor. Of all the men who wore blue uniforms in the Civil War, none felt more keenly the purpose of his mission than the African-American soldier. This is what, Pompey, you were just talking about. Every marching step, every swing of a pick, every round fired at Confederate enemies gave him a chance to strike a blow against slavery and prove himself equal to his white comrades. U.S. colored troops were consistently good fighters, performing well in every engagement in which they fought. Even their enemies had to grudgingly admit that fact. One USCT, that's United States Colored Troops, a member, William H. Kearny, transcended good to become great, and was the first black U.S. soldier to earn the Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, salute. And, you know, you think about the movie Glory, Denzel, and how a lot of times they would just use us as fodder until these people ran out of ammunition. And the blacks still went, even though they were slaughtered and they saw their comrades being slaughtered. Oftentimes the whites would put us up front to take the brunt of the battle.
Yeah.
And then when the enemy ran out of ammunition, then they'd come and then take the glory of it or the credit for it. But we certainly have fought bravely.
Yeah, and they said it was 88 of 3,400 and something men who received the Medal of Honor. You know, so
how many?
Even that, it was 3,498. and he was one of 88 who actually received the Medal of Honor. And you know what gets me the most is that here in 1971, when I went into the military, you know, they taught us about the flag and everything, and they taught us about making sure that that flag never touched the ground. Here it is. He was in the Civil War, and he was one of those people who actually said, grab that flag. Do not let it touch the ground.
You know, to that's me, what got on the Medal of Honor.
That's awesome. I mean, that is something, because we always thought that was, you know, someone white who came up with this, you know, with this saying not to touch the ground. This
that's
is awesome.
So what got on the Medal of Honor is the fact that when the color guard got shot and killed, he went, grabbed the flag, would not let that flag touch the ground, and got almost mortally wounded. In the process. You know, but it took him 37 years to actually get, he was the first to earn his Medal of Honor, African American, but there were 20 men before him that got it before he did. He got his 37 years late.
Because it's always a fight.
Right.
It's always a fight for the recognition.
And they don't want to, you know, in Vietnam, I got a bronze star for two bronze stars, but you know, they flew me out, and well, it wasn't a general, but it was a full bird colonel who pinned it on me, and I was the only black. But it, a lot of blacks did brave things and courageous things, but were not recognized by the white officers. And you had to be extremely outstanding for them to put you, you know, recommend you for a medal. I know I did something that my white guy got a silver star and I got a bronze star. We were together. And he got the silver star and I got the bronze star. But, you know, there's discrimination. 1968, you know, Black Power, Stokely Carmichael, all those. So you faced a lot of discrimination back then. And I hate to think of what earlier guys, I had a gentleman who just passed away, but he was telling me the story of how they were in the Aleutian Islands up in Alaska, and how they treated the blacks, how poorly the whites had these you know, these modules to live in, and the blacks had to live in tents. And it got cold up there in the Alaskan Islands, and he talked with some level of bitterness about how they were mistreated during World War II. And he just passed away about a month ago.
Well, to continue about this gentleman, on February 17th, 1863, at the age of 23, Kearney heeded the call of African Americans to join a local militia unit, the Morgan Guards, with 45 other volunteers from his hometown of New Bedford, Massachusetts. The unit would later become Company C of the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment. There was something unique about the new regiment commanded by Colonel Robert Gould Shaw. It was an all-black unit with the exception of senior officers and a few senior non-commissioned sergeants. The 54th Massachusetts was created to prove that black men could be good soldiers. Kearney was born a slave, as I mentioned, in February 29, 1840, in Norfolk, Virginia. His father, also named William, escaped slavery, reaching freedom through the Underground Railroad. William Sr. then worked hard to buy the freedom of the rest of his family. The free and united, reunited family settled in New Bedford in the second half of the 1850s. Young William learned to read and write by the age of 15. He was interested in becoming a minister. This is just a great story of black soldiers, and of course during the time of Black History Month, it's certainly great to talk about it. It was great. Very good.
And I have to say, I hate the term, he was born a slave. But he was born into slavery. But, you know,
That's a much better statement. No, Consul, I agree with you.
Softer blow.
Born into slavery, that's much better. This is something, by the way, we will certainly accept your call, 773-591-1690, 773-591-1690. We'd be glad to hear from you, particularly with Black History Month, and we have a lot of great soldiers that have gone through so many things and gotten so many medals, and we just are so proud of all the African Americans who have served in all of the services and, of course, still do.
I guess I just want to say that I hope, and I've mentioned this before, that I hope some of our people and young people will consider joining the military. Because when I look at what's happening, I see our police department is 40% Hispanic. I see we are not joining the military. Some of us don't want to, you know, it's not my country, it's not my war, this, that. that the military offers so many opportunities for many people who don't have other avenues, that it is just a wonderful thing to be able to get your education, to get your set on what MOS or job you want in the military. Don't just ignore this, because I see that we are we were drafted in years past, but there are so many opportunities for people, and they should really consider that, especially if they're not going to college, they're not going to trade school. Give the military a shot.
I agree with you.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize when you join the National Guard, in most states around the country, particularly here in Illinois, the National Guard will pay for any state school, 100% tuition.
That's great.
For any state school that you go to.
Speaking of, we have a show coming up this month with National Guard members. They took a picture with Cliff, and they was looking at him like, it's Cliff. And I'm like, yes, sweetheart, it is.
That was nice. We happened to run into him.
Let me see, per our calendar, that's already full for the month of February. They're scheduled for February 16th.
Okay.
All right.
Proud of them.
Yeah. But this is just a great thing. And let me say this, what Ernesto was saying about joining, we're going to have something from CNN. You may not have to join. We may be drafted.
Hopefully not.
CNN clip about the U.S. withdrawing from the Nuclear Arms Treaty.
The United States announcing today it is suspending one of the last remaining nuclear arms treaties between the U.S. and Russia.
We provided Russia an ample window of time to mend its ways and for Russia to honor its commitment. Tomorrow that time runs out.
The Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, or INF, was signed by President Ronald Reagan and then-Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev in 1987. For the past several years, the U.S. has accused Russia of violating the treaty, of developing and deploying medium-range nuclear-ready missiles.
We can't be put at the disadvantage of going by a treaty, limiting what we do when somebody else doesn't go by that treaty, okay?
The Trump administration says Russia has placed battalions of missiles near the borders of Europe, not allowed by the treaty's terms. The missile is called the 9M729. Russia recently showed off the system, but not the missile itself, to journalists and claims that it does abide by the INF. Russia has implemented and continues to meticulously implement the requirements of the treaty, this Russian general said, and does not allow for any violations to happen. The goal of the treaty was to prevent the two sides from developing land-based, medium-range nuclear weapons. NATO, whose members are the most threatened by the Russian moves, expressed its full support of the U.S. pulling out. While some experts, including former Secretary of State General Colin Powell, told Jake on State of the Union, it's a wrong and dangerous thing to do.
Now, there are a lot of people now saying, we got to get out of this treaty, we got to get out of that treaty. Bad, terrible mistakes, which we will regret, because they don't make sense.
The biggest concern? Today's move could spark an arms race, not just with Russia, but with China, which has not been constrained by the treaty and has grown exponentially more powerful over the past three decades.
China is already developing these capabilities as well as strategic nuclear capabilities. You've got the North Koreans, and of course the Russians have not only been developing these intermediate range missiles, but hypersonic and more strategic nuclear capable missiles as well. So we're already in a bit of an arms race now.
Trump's wall isn't going to take care of this.
No, tall wall.
Here we go again. Yeah, this is a serious situation, and we went on back to Colin Powell saying this is a bad thing to do. Yeah. It's a very unfortunate circumstance, but we'll of course see what's going to happen relative to that.
He disagrees with what all his intelligence.
He told them they should go back to school.
Yeah, go back to school. Right. So.
Let's take a caller. Charles, thank you. You're on WVON 1690. Charles, are you there?
You can hear? Okay.
Yeah,
great.
I can hear
you. Hey, Cliff, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the wonderful panel. And I always tell you, Cliff, when I see you, you do an excellent job.
Thank you.
On exhibiting and explaining what's going on around America regarding black America.
Let
me say this. Mm-hmm. I sort of disagree with someone to say, you got to get education. Shoot, You got plenty. And I was in the military, and I was retired from the military, and one of the most racist entities I ever encountered. Went to college and everything else, got a master's degree, did everything they told me to do. And that degree didn't wasn't worth 12 cents. Because of the fact that most of us, to come out with those degrees, they're still going to give those to a white boy a position or whatever. They're going to have no teeth in his mouth and give him, with no high school education, and give him the best job they can over you. You can even be someone, a European, come from overseas and get a job over black folks. And so, and you know, so education. And
so what are you saying, Charles? Education is worthless or what? I mean, what's your
point? I'm like Dr. Claude Anderson. Okay. You got to be, you get an education, and you're not even recognized.
Start your own business.
Yeah. Well, we got it. That's for us to do. I got what you're saying. And but we got to do better on that, okay? And I appreciate your call, absolutely. The education is helpful.
Sure. It's better to have the education.
Better.
Without a doubt. But what you do with the education is more important.
But still, it's not only that we still have prejudice.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But I think Ernesto hit a good point, is that we need to start creating our own businesses. That's really where the power is going to actually occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once we become more create more entrepreneurs and create more business owners, then we can start talking about jobs.
And more people in finances. That is just really something that we don't do a lot of.
Right. Thurgood, hi. You're on the Talk of Chicago 1690 American Business
Group. Good afternoon. That was a great panel. Governor, I'm sad to hear of your transition. But
no, that's okay. This is only about America's Heroes Group. I'll be on Monday. We can talk about that then. Mm-hmm. But today,
yes, sir. Well, cutting to the chase, I was calling in regard of the United States. Supposedly this beef with Russia, unilaterally pulling out of the intermediate range nuclear weapons treaty and then Russia falling suit. Just a couple of maxims of foreign policy. Follow the money. So now what will occur is they will be justified a modernization and an increased spending for these kind of weapons. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter, the world's nuclear weapons policy has been based upon the doctrine of MAD, mutually assured destruction. So, to the fact that they're going to increase the amount of intermediate weapons or do whatever, there's still enough nuclear warheads to destroy the globe.
Everybody, that's right. Excellent point, Thurgood. Thank you so much for your call, as always. Appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much. We'll take a break now. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, America's Heroes Group. We'll be back with more right after this.
Talk radio that makes you think. You're listening to the Talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation, 1690 WVON.
America.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared toward veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SEIDMAN, Law.net.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
The WVON lineup, chat room, blogs, photos, podcasts, and more on the World Wide Web at WVON.com.
Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly, and of course, this is America's Heroes Group. It is Saturday, February 2nd. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can also go to WVON.com, and you can call us direct, 773-591-1690. You can get social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also joining us now, and our panel is Sharon Stokes Perry, is a native Chicagoan and enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1985 and served 10 years. She was stationed at Camp Pendleton, Camp Smith in Hawaii, Chicago Military Entrance Processing Center, and 2nd Battalion of the 24th Marines. She's joined the Montford Point Marine Association in 2007 and was elected treasurer in 2008. She was elected president of the Association Chicago Chapter in 2010 and currently remains in that position. She is an advocate for veterans and their families. She holds a Master of Science degree in Adult Education and a Bachelor of Science degree in Organizational Behavior from Northwestern University. And it's good to see you. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Cliff?
Good. So happy to have you back. Things have worked out very well relative to that, and we have a guest coming in, and we're going to talk about that when our guest gets here. But in the interim, tell us, this is a great thing that's happened with Montford Point, but tell us about it.
Well, as you know, the Montford Point Marines are the first African Americans mm-hmm. to ever serve in the Marine Corps, and they served at a segregated boot camp in North Carolina from 1942 to 1949. And it's very significant that they were the first because the intent was to send all of the black Marines home at the end of the war. But they proved themselves to be fearless, to be committed to their country, mm-hmm. and they were given the opportunity to continue to serve in the military. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we're happy about that.
And how long has this your structure there that was in trouble and now things are doing better? But how long did the organization have this building?
Our organization has had our building for about the past 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the original idea came in 1965 to create an organization that would preserve the legacy of the first African-American Marines. So shortly after that reunion, they came and created a chapter in Chicago in 1966. They had been doing community service and really helping with the African-American veterans who were coming home from the Vietnam War. And part of their desire was to have a facility so that they could support those returning mm-hmm. Vietnam veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period, when you support a veteran, you have to support their families, too. So that's where the community service aspect came. And from their first location on East 75th Street, which burned down in 1982, they picked a new site, which was in 1983, mm-hmm. where we're at now. Mm-hmm. And we've been there for the past 35 years, assisting our veterans and serving our community.
And that's great. Now, you've had some problems.
Yes, sir. We've had mm-hmm. some problems. We've had a drastic loss in membership. If you think about those first African-American Marines who created their own organization, right now the youngest of them are 91. Wow. And the oldest wow. in our mm-hmm. chapter is 97. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a group of young men who were young at the inception of creating their own organization, who are now senior citizens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're still our World War II heroes, but they're not as active as they used to be. And living on reduced incomes, they can't contribute as much as they used to remain self-sufficient on their own. So mm-hmm. A lot of that, we went from a membership of 200 to 35, and half of that membership is over 90 years old. So we do have some trials and tribulations associated with that.
Well, yeah, and you had all kind of problems with the building and so forth, and the building inspectors came out and gave you all kind, and they were going to close you down, right?
No, they were not going to close us down. But
You needed assistance.
Yes, were cited.
I'm not closed down. I'm
yes,
sorry.
But we were cited, and we do need assistance
yeah.
in maintaining
which is why we had
the integrity
in.
Of the building.
Right, exactly. We have in our studio our guest, who is someone who was always told, girls, don't do that. She is none other than Suzanne Mendoza, who was sworn in as Illinois Comptroller in December of 2016 after running for office on a platform of prioritizing the most vulnerable residents at a time when the state had gone without a budget. Susanna has done so many things. She's been state rep. She's done she was in the state senate.
No, I was city clerk.
City clerk. I was going to get to that. That's right. Anyway, we want you to talk about this, but it's so good to see you.
It's so great to be here. It's great to be seen, right? Because we're
still
alive.
Great,
things
exactly.
are good, yes.
And, of course, right now, we need to mention she's also running for an office, right?
Yeah, for mayor.
That's
I'm a
right.
glutton for punishment, Cliff. Yes. No, I'm very excited to be running for mayor right now of this great city, and we want to make it a city that everyone feels that it loves them right back, right?
And,
no matter
and
where you live.
You were the first woman to be elected city clerk.
Yes.
Yeah,
I was the first woman elected city clerk, and I was the first Latina or mm-hmm. Hispanic, period, male mm-hmm. or female, to be elected to statewide office as comptroller of the state of Illinois. So thank you to everyone who voted for me.
That's great. Well, we have you here, of course, because of the situation with the Marston Point Marines. Help us out.
Yes.
Here,
yeah. Well, Sharon is an angel. Let me just start with that. Okay. You know, when I reached out to her, well, I'd gotten the story was forwarded to me by one of my colleagues in the legislature, and he said, this is such a great organization. You know, maybe there's something you could do to help them. So I'd already been talking with my team about, like, figuring out what we could do if we had some flexibility with a donation and stuff. And so we were in the process of that. And then this whole thing happened with the donations that, you know, I'd received. And I wanted to immediately, of course, you know, now that there's some wrongdoing that has been accused from some of these elected officials who had contributed to my campaign. As you know, I mean, I work with all elected officials. That's sure. part. That's my job. Mm-hmm. And I can't control when they do stupid things. But when they do, you, of course, condemn them. I do. Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to get rid of those dollars because certainly my integrity is not for sale and it doesn't have a price tag. And I'd rather put that money to a better use. And so when we thought about the fact that it was a lot of money, I mean, it's been many years, many donations. I had about, it was $141,550, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of an election. It kind of hurts to unload that much money. But, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, your integrity is priceless. So you could split it up in 20 different, 30 different causes. But I felt like there's one group. And there's a reason why I heard this story before, right? Like, nothing happens by accident. I think God always has a plan. And I just thought, look, we can spread around 10,000 here and 10,000 there, or we can really save an organization that needs to be saved right now, make it a game-changing moment. And what's beautiful about this is that they unfortunately have been going through these difficult times. But as I told Sharon, I truly believe that God has a plan for everything and that it's important to go through those difficult times to really, truly appreciate the good moments. And if they had not gone through those difficult times, you know, many people in Chicago wouldn't even know about the Montfort Point Marines and the history that is so rich, like the first African-American Marines are right here in our amazing city in Inglewood. And how many people have never even heard of that? So had they not gone through this difficult time, that story by Evan would have never been written. So thank you, Evan Moore, for bringing light to this amazing group of people. And I wouldn't have heard about it. And then, you know, our contribution would have probably gone elsewhere. So the fact that we knew they were there, that they needed this help, and that it would be game-changing was awesome. And I'm just really glad that out of, some, you know, a dark moment in our city's history, right, something beautiful and light can shine. So, but I want to say when I called her and she said, I think she thought it was a joke, right, number one. And then she was like, when I told her how much, it was like, what? You know, I think she probably thought, here's 10 grand or something, but this is like the, essentially the whole enchilada almost. But she said to me that they've been praying all along that the Montfort Point Marines had an angel that would watch out for them. And I told her, you're their angel. Like, truly, she is the angel. Like, she's so amazing. And my husband drove out to meet her and deliver the check and deliver it. And he came back and he said to me, wow, Sharon is just someone so special. You know, number one, of course, she's a veteran herself. But the fact that you could turn that amount of money over to someone and have an absolute guarantee feel that it's going to be put to good use, to the perfect use, and that she loves those Marines, you know, with all her heart, there's no doubt. And I couldn't be happier.
I think that's
couldn't be
great,
happier. Suzanne. So thank you, Sharon, for your advocacy for this group and for never giving up. And that's what this is about, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
You never leave one of them behind.
That's
and
right. Mm-hmm.
I think now this is a wonderful moment for Chicagoans to rally behind the Montfort Point Marines, mm-hmm. to learn about them, for all of our, you know, African-American boys and girls to, like, understand how lucky we are to have these amazing men that are still alive that, by the way, look like they're in their 60s or 70s. They don't look like they're in their 90s. They must be doing something right. And let's rally behind them and close the gap. There's still like a $30,000 gap. We need to close the gap. Hopefully not by any additional scandals. But
right.
Let's just all rally behind this amazing group right here in Chicago and help them out.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, but I think it's great, Susanna, what you've done. That is just fantastic. Did you want to respond?
I want to say is that Susanna is wonderful. And the Montfort Point Marine Association, which is not just a Marine Association, but an association of veterans, mm-hmm. from all branches of service. We are truly grateful that you thought of us. I mean, you could have donated to anyone in this city, as all organizations are in need of cash. But we're glad you picked us. As you stated before, we knew it was an angel out there, and we're glad that it was us. We are very glad, and we're very appreciative of that, and the fact that we are educating the public, which is one of our missions, mm-hmm, to educate the public about the service of the often forgotten African American Marines and service members.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let me ask this though, Susanna. As Sharon mentioned, you could have done a number of different things with the money, divided it up. How did you happen to determine that it should go there? I mean, it's a great thing, wonderfully.
Yeah, in my heart, I just felt like that's where it needed to go. You know, I read about them, and I thought, wow, I wish there was something I could do. And I just didn't know that maybe in a couple of weeks there'd be this situation, which, of course, is not a comfortable situation. No one wants to have to, you know, deal with bad, you know, people doing stupid things, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, hey, if that's what it, you know, that allowed us to actually make something negative into something really great and positive. Mm-hmm. And I would have done something anyway. This was always my intention. It just, the difference is, you know, you're talking about a $5,000 contribution versus something that is really a game changer, right? Mm-hmm. So I just felt that the best use of that amount of money, it was almost like meant to be, you know, like here's this amount, this is what they needed, and we're going to be able to change some lives. And that night, the next night, I think, right, was it? She had a fundraiser. Like, what are the odds? Like, their annual fundraiser was scheduled for the day after I delivered, or my husband delivered the check on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And I went to the fundraiser anyway, and it was super fun. They had, like, a Tina Turner impersonator, and we danced. Although those videos better never make it onto the internet. You know what I mean? But but it was
Ike
great.
Wasn't there, was he?
No, he wasn't there. We kicked him out. You know, he's a little bit abusive here and there. We don't like that. But Tina Turner was awesome. But the best part was just connecting with the veterans. And, you know, there was one in particular who, you know, it was so powerful to me. He got very emotional, and he told me that this place is very special to him, right, mm-hmm, Cliff? Mm-hmm. That he had been in the war and has, you know, has dealt with PTSD. Mm-hmm. And he's just not a social guy. He doesn't feel comfortable in social settings. Mm-hmm. Yet this was the place that he could go all of these years to be himself, where his friends understood mm-hmm. what he had gone through, where he didn't have to pretend to be anybody else, where he didn't have to worry about the social setting. This was his family, essentially, right? His extension of himself. And he got very emotional, and he even started crying, and I thought it was so powerful. You know, I told him, don't be embarrassed. Like, own that. This is a powerful moment, and things are changing for the better. And I'm proud of you feeling that way, you know? And he said to me, when I heard that we were going to lose this place, I thought I was going to lose myself. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And now I'm going to be here. This place is still going to be here. I still have a place to go. Mm-hmm. And he was so thankful. And to me, it's like those are the moments that make you just double down on why you're in public service, right? Like, this is what it's about. It's not ever about us. It's about helping other people and giving people an opportunity to feel that they're a part of this society. And there's nobody that we should take care of really more than our veterans, the people who laid the foundation for us to even be in this country and to have the liberties and the freedoms that we do. And so, you know, I've always said as controller, it's always been my moral compass to prioritize the most vulnerable amongst us. But, you know, when I heard that we had a group of veterans who were going to lose their home and we needed to raise some dollars, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just thankful to God that, you know, I was able to be a little part of that.
Did you, any veterans?
My husband's brother, my brother-in-law, Andy, was in the very first group of Marines that went out to Iraq, like when they toppled Saddam's regime.
Okay.
He was on the front lines of that, and I'm super proud of him. And mm-hmm. And, you know, we have so many friends in the family, too, that were and have served in the military and continue to be. And, mm-hmm. you know, how I feel about veterans. I mean, as controller, I was really on the front lines of taking on Bruce Rauner on how he treated the veterans in Quincy with Legionella and so forth. And mm-hmm. visited the facility many times and have tried to prioritize our veterans every step of the way. And this was just a little bit more that I could do for this one group. But I think it's more than just the money that you're sending that way. It's that now so many people in Chicago and even outside of Chicago know of this organization. Mm-hmm. They know who the Montford Point Marines are. We should be celebrating the lives of our Marines while they're still here to hear people say thank you, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. It was like a wonderful thing that people now know who they are and are hopefully rallying behind their cause. And they deserve a beautiful, gorgeous building, right? That's where these guys should be going, these men and women who have served us. So, you know, as mayor, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make sure that they are rocking and rolling over there.
Anybody got a panel?
Well, I'll just say that I did.
Consulate?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
And again, thank you, Madam Controller, for the contribution you made, because I did not know about the Montford Point, and I saw the article in the paper, and I saw there was a property tax matter, and I deal oftentimes with saving people's homes who are behind in their property taxes in the legal arena. And I was going to call and offer my services to see what I could do, and then lo and behold, you made that great contribution to save the day. So,
well, you can still do something.
I can still
can
do
something. More.
Yeah,
everybody
and I'd like to volunteer to do something if you need some help with that. Yeah,
we do. Absolutely. We can use your legal experience.
That's great.
That.
Sharon, you mentioned there was a gap still yet that has to be met. So, where can our audience, listeners, and people, where can they go to actually support you in that gap and try to get that gap closed?
We have a GoFundMe page, and you go to the GoFundMe page, put in Save Montford Point, and we're right there. You can donate online, or you can send checks directly to the facility at 7011 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60621. And if we're open, just you can drop by and stick it in the mailbox. If we there, give it to us in our hand. And if we not, stick it in the mailbox. And we will definitely ensure that it goes to good use.
How long has it been open? It's been a long time because I've known about it. But, you know, people used to have, I hate saying how long I've been around. You know?
Right. And let me just.
But you used to have parties there and so forth.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me personally thank Susanna, also been a member for over 20 years with Montford Point, recording secretary for them now.
That's awesome.
And certainly just one of the few women that have been in that organization, one of the few Army veterans who have been in there.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, hoo-ah. But we want to thank you, you know, for what you've done for us. We really appreciate it. And you're right, it is a game changer for what we're doing. And we'll continue to do what we have to do in order to exist, you know. So what you've done has allowed us to carry on what we were initially doing without the support.
Well,
so thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your service to all our men and women, brave men and women in the who are veterans and those who have served and given their life, the ultimate sacrifice. And you know who else? Their families. Because mm-hmm. you're all in this together, right? It's not just
Absolutely.
The person who goes off to fight or protect our country, but the families that they leave behind who are carrying that tremendous weight and burden as well. So you know, thank you to all of you. It's the least that, I mean, I was in the position to do it, and I'm happy to do it. I wish I could do more, you know. But at the end of the day, it was a great way to start off Black History Month, right?
Yeah.
Let's teach our
Absolutely.
Kids. Let's teach the rest of our city
Absolutely.
About who the Montford Point mm-hmm. Marines are and all the different branches that are represented, how it's grown. Mm-hmm. But we need to do a better job of supporting our veterans and, most importantly, teaching our kids mm-hmm. that there's so many great things that they can look to be proud of mm-hmm. that they may not have even known was happening right in their own neighborhood. This
That's
is a
right.
great teaching moment for us as a
oh,
city.
Oh, absolutely. And we want to teach them, too, that we don't have to wait till February to celebrate each other.
That's
what
right.
I was trying
biggest
to
thing
every day.
That I would like to get out to them, because we have some amazing, you know, contributions to this nation, American history, military history.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that our youth understand, you know, their potential in grasping hold to this legacy of all who have served
mm-hmm.
and that they will be in history one day also. And that's the push that we have for our children.
Yeah, one of the things I was trying to ask Sharon, and people started laughing, because that's been there a long time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, because there used to be all kinds of parties and so forth, you know.
Absolutely.
So what I was asking, do you have any idea when they really opened?
Yes. They opened the place in 1983.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. 83. I know it was because
That facility. It was a different place before, and it burned down.
Yeah. The other one, right. Exactly.
So that particular facility, was opened in 1983. And who knew then that they would be Congressional Gold Medal recipients in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mm-hmm.
know, that's a little known fact that mm-hmm. President Obama signed the executive order to ensure that they receive the Congressional Gold Medal.
Okay.
So, like, everyone knows about the Tuskegee Airmen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not very many people know about the Montford Point Marines,
That's
and it's
true.
Time they know.
That's true. Well, you've been a big help history. For that.
Absolutely.
And we certainly appreciate you, Susana Mendoza.
Thank you.
Thank you, madam.
Thank you for coming in. Appreciate it.
It's great to be here. You're Hope pretty. To see you again soon.
Absolutely. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Any questions or concerns regarding affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. Thank you for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the like Facebook bot button at the top of our page. Therefore, you stay connected and will receive notifications regarding future shows, events, information regarding armed forces, veterans, and their family members. We are so grateful to our partner, Ms. Dorothy Lavelle, and the Chicago Reader. The articles on veterans, armed forces, and their family members online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to Chicago Crusaders weekly column with Voices, Cliff Kelly, and America's Heroes Group, call Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com for subscription. Happy Black History Month, and thank you for listening to America's Heroes Group.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our assistant producer, Gerald. Mm-hmm. Gerald, thank you. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, that was great.
Okay, I had my women's forum. It ran late. The women's forum.
Of Chicago and the voice of the nation.